No doubt you've been at home a few times and been having conversations with a family member or a spouse, and you are having this conversation and you are all into describing something that's very, very important to you. And you notice after a while of, you know, explaining and being all excited that you realize that the person you're talking to is paying zero attention to you. And what do you say? Have you heard a word that I said? Right? Right? Maybe it's you guys talking about cars or about ballistics or about farming or about a business deal, or maybe it's the wives talking about something else, right? But eventually we all come to this point where we're talking about something that we really care about, and the person in the room is on their phone or just off in La La Land, or maybe it's like my grandpa who passed away recently. He'd say, "Oh, sorry, I was just checking the back of my eyelids." Right? This happens, right? This happens to us. And what is before us here today in the sermon then that Jesus is giving here is more conversation about, do you hear what Jesus is saying? Do you hear it? Are you listening to the words that Jesus is saying? Last week we talked about some hard words that Jesus gives in terms of who can hear him and who can't hear him. Whenever the word goes forth, some people hear and some people don't hear. And some people hear, but then it gets choked out over the course of time. And we want to continue that line of thought here today because Jesus has more to say about this matter of hearing and what you do with what you hear. When we left off last week, Jesus was talking about a parable about how seeds are sown and how when the word is given, some will understand and some will not. He talks in these ways to fulfill the words of Isaiah. Parables are concealing the mysteries of the kingdom. Some people will take hold of them, some people will not. The parable that he told us to remind you is this, is that the word is the seed of God, or the seed is the word of God that is cast out. Some people will have it snatched up before they ever get a chance to hear because the devil swoops in and takes it. Others begin to let that seed take root in them, but then because there's no basis for growth, it burns up because difficulty comes about. Other people, when the word of God is implanted, it does grow, but it's barely alive because there's so much competition around it because of the cares of the world. And other people have hearts prepared, and they patiently labor to not only cultivate the life of the plant that's within them, but also to bring forth fruit. Jesus continues this line of thinking today in Luke chapter 8 and verse 16 with a different parable. He says this, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Father, help us this morning as we consider your word. These words, again, bring some difficulties into our minds and hearts as we think about how they apply to real life and how they apply to people that we know and people that we love and how they apply to our own hearts. And so, Lord, I just pray again that you would give us understanding. There are so many potential distractions right now. It'd be very, very easy for the word to go forth today and to have it choked out by weeds and thorns and thistles because of all the cares of the world. And God, I pray that for those that have gathered here today, that their hearts would be ready. Their souls would be prepared to hear what Jesus Christ says and what the Word of God has to say. They would not have it snatched away. They would not have it snuffed out because of difficulty. They would not have the cares of the world choke it out, but they would be ready to hear what you say. And so, Father, help us in this time to think about the words of Christ and help us to apply them to our lives, that we would be both hearers and doers. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If you want to take some notes this morning, the first part of our outline this morning is this, a parable of light. Saw last week a parable of the sower, a parable of how the seeds get planted. Today, Jesus continues this line of thought. It's not a break, it's just another parable disclosing some things about the kingdom of God, and this one is about light. The teaching of the second parable and the comments that are about his family that we'll read here in just a few more minutes have the same line of thought that this last parable did, and that is about hearing the words of God and doing something about them. All right, this is sort of the essence of the Christian life whenever we come to the Scriptures, whether that be at church or whether that be in our time of devotions or private study, right? What it comes down to, do I hear and do I do something about it? And these parables have to deal with this matter. Now, the parable that he gives here is a very simple one. If you have a lamp and you light it, what do you do with it? You put it out for everybody to see. That's the whole purpose of lighting a lamp in the first place. I remember, remind you, we're not talking about lights that you flip on in a room. We're talking, about flashlights. We're talking about going through the process of striking a match or using some sort of flint and steel or having another source of light in the house, and you light the wick, right? You go through the process of lighting this lamp for a reason. You don't just light it just for the sake of it. And if you light it, what should you do? You wouldn't dare cover it up, because then what would happen? It would snuff out, right? We're talking about real flames here. We're not talking about kids hiding flashlights under pillowcases or under their hands or sticking them in their mouth to make their cheeks grow red, right? We're talking about real flames. If you put something over it, it snuffs out. Then what did you light it for in the first place? Likewise, you don't put it underneath of a bed to hide it away somewhere. Now, again, we don't get carried away about, you know, what would happen if you put a lamp under a bed? Well, it'd catch on fire. Don't get distracted, okay? Right? The point is that if you light a lamp, you put it in a visible place so that people can receive light from it. That is the purpose of lighting it, right? You don't light a lamp to put it under your bed. You don't light a lamp to put something over it to conceal it. The whole reason that you light a lamp is because you want to see. You want to illuminate. You want other people to see as well. The issue is of light, and the purpose of lighting the lamp is that people might see. So then Jesus gives a little bit of explanation to these words as well. And again, remember the scene here, right? He preached the parable of the sower to all kinds of people. And then he said to the disciples afterwards, when they said, "What are you talking about, Jesus?" He explained to them the meaning of the parable. And it seems as though that is still the immediate context. He's talking to those disciples that had gathered around him, the ones that he said, "To you it's been given the mysteries of the kingdom. Come here close, and I'll explain to you what the parable of the sower is." He goes on to continue teaching them. So this isn't a parable that he's giving to the masses. It's to those that he had drawn close to him to explain. And so he continues giving meaning to these words. And so he says this in verse 17. "Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." So the first part of the meaning of this parable then is this. Nothing that has come to light will be hidden. Everything will be visible. The point of what he's getting at is this. This means that what Jesus came to reveal, it will not be hidden because of the purpose for which he came. Who is Jesus? Well, he's a lot of things, but one of the ways he describes himself is he is the light of the world. Did the light of the world come into the world so that we could hide him under a bushel? No! Like the song says, right? Did Jesus come into the world to be the light of the world, to speak and to be manifested to the world so that we could hide him away somewhere? No, that's part of what Jesus is saying here, is that nothing in secret will not be revealed, nor anything that is hidden will not be known and come to light. The things that Jesus says in the presence of Jesus here on this earth were intended to bring light. And this is a profound statement because it speaks of the essence of his ministry. The scripture says that in Jesus there is light, and in him there is no darkness. Or a familiar text in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. He was a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." See, this is what Jesus was. Jesus was a source of illumination. He came into the world so that people could see. He came into the world so that people would understand. He didn't come into the world to be hidden away. You don't light a lamp and put it under a vessel, do you? You don't light a lamp and hide it away. No, Jesus is the light. And what Jesus is in his essence and what Jesus proclaimed in his words was intended to be seen. It was previously disclosed, and now it's been revealed. God wanted this to be done. Never forget that when Christ came into this world, he brought illumination with him. He is the light of men. He declared in John 8 at a Jewish festival, they would light lamps and carry them through the cities. He said, "I'm the light of the world." That's who he is, in his essence, in his word, in his message. Never forget this. When we talk about Jesus, there's nothing to be ashamed about. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Where does shame hide? It hides in the darkness. Shame hides in the corners of things that are hidden away, right? That's why most crimes are done under the cover of night. Trying to hide, right? People hide things about themselves and things they'd rather not anyone know or things that they have currently doing. They hide them away in dark places. But here's the thing about Jesus. What does Jesus do? He shines light. And everything in the light is revealed. Everything in the light is seen. Is there anything to be ashamed about with Christ? No. He is this beautiful radiance of God. There's nothing to be ashamed about. There's nothing hiding. It's not like if you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus that somehow, some way, someone's going to go back on his Facebook page from years ago and find something that everyone's embarrassed about. They're not going to talk to a kid in his grade school and be like, oh, I remember Jesus on the playground. Right? That's never going to happen. Jesus is light. He is purity. He is perfection. He is life. And he has come to bring this light into the world. There's no reason to hide him. That's not the reason he came. The reason he came was so that he would give light to all people. He came to bring light into the darkness. There's an attitude amongst many that we need to make the message of the Bible more palatable and less offensive. Say, well, let's just make it a little bit softer for everybody. But what does light do in the presence of darkness? It casts it out. That's what Jesus is. He's not here on the attack. He just is light. And when light comes into a room, it fills it. And any light, any darkness is cast out. Don't be afraid to talk about Christ. Don't be afraid to declare him. There's nothing to be ashamed about because what is his light declaring? It means salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to save. I know the light is bright sometimes. I know people really don't like when you turn on the lights in the morning. I'm like, I get up in the morning, I turn the lights on kind of guy. My wife is like, ugh. When Jesus shines forth, sometimes to people it's like, ugh. But it is true and it reveals what is true and it shows what is present. Don't be afraid. Remember what John said in summary of Jesus' talk with Nicodemus. He said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked thing hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works would be exposed. Right? We need to declare Christ openly to people. And if people want to run and hide from it, it shows what is already going on within their hearts. But there is nothing to be ashamed about in declaring the light of men. We should declare him. These things that were once hidden will be revealed. Nothing in secret. There is nothing in secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be made known and come to light. This is true in the ministry of Christ. What was hidden in ages gone by is now revealed. What is true of what God was planning to do has now been exposed, and it is visible. Truth is also present here that if people try to hide things, eventually their sins will find them out. That's another truth that's present here. Nothing in secret that will be revealed, nor anything that will be hidden, will not be made known and come to light. There's no way you can hide. That's what the Word of God does when it comes forth. The Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, and there's no hiding from it. Everything is naked and exposed before it, like it says in Hebrews. Now, a second point here in thinking about what Jesus' words are, come in verse 18 when Jesus gives a command. He explains about light and how light is going to be revealed, and there's going to be anything that's not going to be exposed eventually. But then he says, therefore, and this is the command that he gives as a result of this teaching, therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear, because, then he gives the reason why we need to pay close attention to how we hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So he gives here these words. He gives a command, and he gives a warning. The command comes in verse 18 where he says, pay close attention, or take heed to how you listen. The light that comes into the world has a purpose, and those who are not listening may not receive the benefit of the purpose for which it came. Right? There is truth present in the world. There is truth present in Christ Jesus. And that's why Jesus says to his disciples, and he's saying to us here listening today, take care, be careful how you listen. Don't just come in and be like, well, whatever, I'll get something out of it eventually. No, that's not the posture that Jesus is saying. Take heed, take care, pay close attention that I'm locked in and paying attention to what's going on. This is what Jesus says. Take heed how you care. This is the command that he gives because he then issues a warning. If you receive what the Word of God says, if you receive the person and the work of Christ, if you are listening carefully to what he says, then more will be added to you. But listen, if you don't listen carefully, what happens to you? Even that little that you thought you had, which you didn't really have in the first place, even that will be taken away. Again, these are troubling words that Jesus brings into play, just like he did in our studies last week. Here Jesus warns the disciples to listen carefully so they will continue to be able to receive more. But if they fail to listen, they will revert to a state of less and less understanding, even to the point of no understanding. That's hard. While light is freely given, if it's not received carefully, then understanding and further understanding will become difficult, and what was previously had will be lost. If you don't listen, you lose. Just say it like that. If you don't listen, you lose. If you listen, you gain more. Now, these are hard words because this is not just a sort of theoretical lesson. We think about people when we think about this. Right? These are difficult things. The idea of knowledge compounding in some and the idea of knowledge being removed from others is something that Jesus said last week in our study in Matthew chapter 13 when he said this. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak in parables?" And he answered them and said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." There is this idea that Jesus is putting forth here in speaking in parables and just in general spiritual truth, that those that listen and pay attention, those that have been given the mysteries of the kingdom, they get more and they get more and they get more. And those that do not listen and those who do not have permission to hear the mysteries of the kingdom, they get less and less and less. And that's a troubling thing to think about because we know people, right? So what is Jesus saying and how are we to think about this? I mean, we all have friends, we all have family members that come to mind when we think about things like this. We have questions about human choice and human responsibility and how are we supposed to think about words like this that Jesus gives that are so troubling on some level and so difficult. There are difficulties here for sure, but as I said last week, we need to be made careful here and not making statements. There are certain kinds of people for all of eternity. We need to be careful saying there are not categories of people that exist on the earth. Some people, they never have a chance. And other people, they always have a chance. Be careful, right? Remember the context of what Jesus is saying here is whenever the word is preached, there are these kinds of people present. Whenever the word of God is being put forth, whenever it's being sown, these are the kinds of people that are here. Is he saying this is the way they'll be for all of eternity? No, we need to be careful in saying things like that. Goes beyond what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, in those opportunities when the Word of God goes forth, these are the kinds of people. Can people change? Can God do a different work in them? The answer's got to be yes. When you look at what the rest of the Scriptures says, there are some people that when the Word of God goes forth, they do not have a chance to understand because Satan snatches it up. There are some people who will be stuck. There will be some people that have the ability to grow fruits. Now, does God give all people a chance to respond to Christ? The answer in the Scriptures is absolutely yes. So again, we can't look at one verse here and make a whole system to say, oh, nobody, there are some people that never have a chance. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. All who will may come. Does he make his testimonies available to the world by what he's made in creation? Is that available to all people? Yeah. Does God make the Word of God available to all people? Yeah, he does. But here's the question that is here, and the question we need to think carefully about for a few minutes, this. Does God give everyone unlimited opportunities to respond to his word? That's the question that's here, right? Does everybody have access? Yeah. Does everybody have a chance? Yeah. Does everybody have opportunity to respond to Christ? Yeah. Does God give everyone unlimited opportunities? Well, that's where the trouble comes in. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is getting at here. Right? If you don't pay attention to how you listen, then can you lose what you thought you had in the first place? Again, we're talking about the understanding of the Word of God. We're not talking about losing salvation here, okay? Just so we're clear. Is it possible that you can lose more and more understanding as the course of time goes on? And it seems to be, the answer is yes. Especially when you compare with what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 as God moved him to write there. There are times when God says to people who refuse to give thanks to God, and when people refuse to honor God, and when they refuse to submit to God, and they say, well, rather worship the created thing than the Creator himself, then God says, walk in your foolishness. Read Romans chapter 1. He turns them over to their foolishness. He turns them over to darkness. He turns them over to do all manner of unnatural things, and he says, go right ahead. What is he saying here? Is there an unlimited chances for people to respond? It seems as though the answer in Scripture is no. Does everybody get a chance? Yes. Does everybody get an opportunity? Yeah. Do they get an unlimited number of chances? That's where it becomes hard. It seems as though what God reveals in the Scriptures is that the answer to that is no, he does not give everyone unlimited chances for all of their life. God will turn sinful people over to their lust. God will turn foolish people over to their foolishness. He'll let them walk in it all the way to the point of destruction. And what he says here is that what little light they may have had in the first place, he will take it away from them. He'll take it away from them. Now, this is a hard thing, I understand. Be nice to say, let the children come to me, right? Let's talk about Jesus, how he forgives lepers, and let's all the people come to me, and I'm the resurrection life. But Jesus said a lot of hard things. Some things like this are hard, and this is hard because it's one of those things we have to recognize short of heaven, how we're not really fully sure how to grasp everything that Jesus is saying here. In the ages to come, though, I know it will be clear. And I will say this from a pastoral perspective as you wrestle with what Jesus says here and how some people who do not even have, even what they seem to have will be taken from them, as Jesus says. Remember this from a human pastoral perspective. One, you don't know how God is working in the hearts of people, so never stop letting them have the Word of God. You have no idea what God's doing in the heart of people, so never stop sharing the Word of God. Every time the word goes forth, there is the possibility of someone's heart being ready and that seed taking root and it growing. From all that we know, right? Jesus himself said it, right? Every time the word goes forth, it's possible it can get snatched up. Every time it can grow and then get burned up. Every time it can grow and then get choked out. But sometimes when the word of God goes forth, sometimes the soil is ready and it grows and produces hundredfold. Remember that. There's never a time until a person's last breath is gone. There is hope for them to receive God's gift of grace. Until their dying breath is gone, there is hope for people. So don't give up. Keep sowing the word of God, knowing that in some people, when the word of God goes forth, it will take root in some people. Do I know who that's going to be? I don't. So what is our burden as Christians? To keep spreading the seed. Right? Keep sharing the word. And we also need to remember here that we need to be careful how we listen, as Jesus says. So on that question specifically, how is it possible that some people get more and more and more, and some people that have very little get less and less and less? Right? It seems kind of like a Robin Hood sort of a statement, a little bit, right? The rich get richer and the poor get poorer kind of thing, right? How are we to make sense of what Jesus says here in regards to this? Well, let me say it by way of another illustration. If you break a limb and you put a cast on it to immobilize it, it prevents your arm from stressing and straining so that bone can heal, right? But one of the other results of it being in the cast for that period of time so that the bone itself can heal is this thing where the muscles are not used and its use is diminished and something called atrophy happens. There was a guy at our church in Ohio, and he was a big guy, like 6'7". He had all these foot problems and like 3 foot surgeries. And I remember when he finally got out of his walking boot, he had this tiny little stick leg. I mean, he's a big guy, like 6'7". He was like 300 pounds, a big dude. And I remember seeing his leg, and it was like this tiny little stick leg, and it was really hilarious. And he had a good sense of humor, so I could joke with him about it. But all that time in the walking boot and all the time in the cast, all the time he'd been immobilized, his entire calf had atrophied to the point they'd look like he had this tiny little stick leg sticking out. You understand how this works, right? The result of atrophy is weakness and inability. And Jesus' words are a lot like this. If we do not listen to the word of God and listen to the word of Christ and we don't pay any attention to it for days and weeks and years, what will be the result in your soul? Weakness and inability. Atrophy. Right? If you think that you can just ignore what God's word says for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, it will shrivel you up inside. I don't recommend that you try it. But I guarantee if you talk to people and see the result of their life, if they say, I haven't really paid much attention to God's word in the last 6 months, their soul will be in shambles. And their life may be a mess too. Right? That's how it works. When we do not listen for days and weeks and years, the weakness and inability are the result. On the flip side, though, if you exercise your body daily, if you train it, if you lift weights and you run, you build up endurance and endurance and endurance and endurance. Right? You are further strengthened. I have a few friends from college who do CrossFit and powerlifting. I mean, they're beasts in terms of their physical abilities. Can I do what they do? No. We were pretty much on par in college, but they chose to continue pursuing it day after day after day, week after week after week, year after year after year, and now they're physical trainers and they're these huge people. Can I do what they do? I can't. Why? Because I haven't disciplined myself over the course of a dozen years or so to do that. It's the same thing, same way of thinking. If you take care how you hear, then what you have, more will be given to you. You will further compound the ability of your possibility of understanding. And if you say, I'll do nothing with it whatsoever, what will happen? You'll get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. It just makes sense. This is what Jesus is getting at. So it is with the hearing of the word of God. Sometimes when I talk with new Christians, they get frustrated. They're like, Pastor, how do you know so much about God's word? And how can you explain it so well? And I'm just like, you know what? The only difference between me and you are two things: time and experience. Do you have to have a college degree to understand the Bible? No. Do you have to have a college degree to teach the Bible well? No. You do need time, and you do need experience, though, right? When you put yourself under the teaching of the Word of God day after day after day, week after week after week, and you apply yourself to it day after day after week, week after week, you start to strengthen and build up, right? You understand this. And you also understand what happens if you say, you know, like 45 minutes a week is probably good. That has an effect on people's life. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. Take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. And this is a warning to all of us here. You cannot simply depend on understanding from years ago and think that that will be good enough. You have to keep on listening, because if you don't keep listening and you don't keep hearing and you don't keep doing what Jesus asks us to do, then what happens? Atrophy. And you lose the ability and the strength that you previously had, and you become weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Do not think that just because, well, I was raised in Sunday school, but I haven't read my Bible 6 years since, that somehow you're going to strengthen yourself in faith. It takes daily practice in these things. If you have, you will get more. If you don't, even what you thought you had will be gone. Therefore, what Jesus says here is this: pay attention to how you hear. Make sure that your soul is ready when you come to the word so that the seed of God can be planted and have a chance to grow and bear fruit. Be careful to be prepared. That way you don't have weeds that will choke it out, or it falls in rocky ground so it gets destroyed as soon as the heat comes, or that it's so far outside because your heart is so hard that Satan can just grab it and pull it away. Take care how you listen. Now, I know these things are hard, and I've done my best to articulate them in a way that's fair, but I hope that you'll see these realities in life are true. These things are true. I can say in a dozen, almost 13 years now of pastoral ministry, these things that Jesus says are true, even the hard parts of it. And I think if you were to stop and think about what Jesus says, with not only here, but in the rest of Scriptures, you'll understand, if you stop and pull yourself back from it, these things are true. The call for us here, then, is to be careful how we listen. Don't respond to Jesus in apathy, saying, I don't care, or I don't want to think about this. Don't respond to Jesus in anger, saying, God is wrong, and I know better than he does. Don't respond to him that way. Instead, listen carefully. Remember, Jesus will always be a stumbling block to some. He'll also be a cornerstone to others. Some people trip and fall over the words of Christ, and it's their downfall. Other people say he's right, and they build their life upon him. And when the storms come, and the winds rage, and the waters come up, that person will stand fast. Now, as Jesus spoke these words, his mother and his brothers came to him so they could approach him. But the crowd was still on the outside margin of where Jesus was at. And so his brother and his mother could not get to him. So there's Jesus talking with this group of people close to him. And there's a greater crowd in the margins. If you have this mental picture. And his mother and his brothers are trying to get through to him. And they can't. And this is what happens. Verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But then he answered them and said this, my mother and my brothers are those that hear the word of God and do it. Third group of teaching here regarding hearing and doing. And that's the second part of our outline here tonight, this morning, is this, Jesus' true family. Who is Jesus' family? Who are his kin? The answer that he gives here connects with everything we've been talking about over the last week and a half now, and that is this. Who is Jesus' family? It's those that hear my words and do them. That's who his family is. His family are those that hear his words and do them. Through this text, the main emphasis has been hearing the word of God. But just like a lamp is lit and it's intended to give light, hearing is supposed to connect with doing. I didn't put notes together for the word study in regards to this from the Hebrew Old Testament, but the word in the Hebrew Old Testament often gets talked about hearing is the exact same word as doing. You can look it up and chase it down. Right? There was no dichotomy. There was no division in the Old Testament. There is no division or dichotomy in the New Testament between hearing something and doing something. It's supposed to be what you hear, you do. Not supposed to be, well, I just don't want to do anything about that. That's not really hearing. That's not really hearing in the biblical way of thinking. Jesus here is not just looking for people that will hear what he says and say, oh, that was nice, and they go away unchanged. He's looking for people that will hear what he says and do what he says. And if you hear what he says and do what he says, then you will be his family. In our lives, it's very, very easy for there to be a dichotomy or a division between hearing and doing. We are apt to do this. That's why there's jokes about honey-do lists. Right? Because the wife asks their husband to do something and they hear it and then they do absolutely nothing about it. That's why we can make jokes like that, right? Hearing and doing, there's also this division. That's why parents and teenagers often are at odds, because they hear what their parents say and then they just choose not to do anything about it. Jesus says that my family, those that are really my kin, are those that hear and those that do. It's just like James, he repeated these words. It's not like James originated the stuff out of thin air. When Jesus said, be hearers of the word and doers of them, right? He didn't just pull this out of thin air. Where do you think he got it from? Jesus. That's what Jesus just said. Now he adds a helpful illustration. He says, if you are doers of the word but not hearers, you deceive yourselves. And he tells an illustration about somebody who looks in the mirror, right? And they got something wrong with them and they just walk away and don't do anything about it. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's like eating at a really good Mexican restaurant and having a big piece of cilantro stuck in your teeth. And you're like, eh, not a big deal. I'll just go back to eating dinner. You got this big green leafy thing hanging there, right? That's just crazy. You don't do that. You're deceiving yourself saying there's nothing wrong. Yeah, you have a green leaf hanging out of your teeth. There's something wrong, right? So listen to what he says. You deceive yourself when you hear the word, but you don't do something about it. You're deceiving yourself. Just like a person who looks into a mirror and says, nope, nothing's wrong. You're deceiving yourself. When we think that we can hear the word of God, but not do anything about it, we are deceived. The word of God cuts deep into us. It cuts between the soul, between the division of soul and joint and bone and marrow. It gets in there. You can't think that it's going to have that penetrating action within us and then we can say, meh, okay, what football game's on today? And then just walk away. Now, there's no sports, so you can't do that today. I'm sorry. But you can't simply say, well, I'll move on with my day. When the Word of God comes into our hearts, we cannot say, I'll do nothing with it. To do that is to reject the teaching of the Word of God. Jesus says the only way to be a part of his family is to hear and to do what he says. He said it another way in a really intimate setting. This is in the John chapter 15, right before Jesus was betrayed. He's with his disciples, and they're having this big, long discourse before he's arrested. And there in John chapter 15, he said it this way. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandments, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you. Love one another. He said, who are my friends? Who are the people that are closest to me? Who are the people that really are near to me? The people that hear my commands and do them. And the one command that he gives there in that passage is love one another. You really want to know Christ? You really want to be close to him? You want to hear what Jesus says and you want to do what Jesus says? It starts by loving the people in this room. It starts by loving your neighbor as yourself. How will people know who Jesus' disciples are? It's how they love one another. Right? I remind you that to truly abide in Christ, to truly be his friend, to truly be his family, you must follow his commands. And one of those commands is to love one another. We have so many chances to do this right now. Because we're sitting here right now, today, and people are all worrying about the end of the world. You know what we need to do right now to show that we're really God's people? Love others. Love one another. Love the people in this room. Love your neighbors. Love your community. Don't be like, you're going to kill me, stay away! Like we all need garlic around our necks like there's vampires around or something, right? No! We need to lean in and love people. We need to reach out to those in our midst here and those in our community abroad and show them the love of Christ. We need to be generous, not hoarders. We need to be joyful, not fearful. We need to feed the sick and tend to the needy instead of saying, but I might get sick from them. Show love to them. We have hope. Listen, one of the things that struck me most here as we think about the world around us and what's going on here is this, is that people are just afraid to die. They have no hope. They have no peace. You know, I know there's people around here, you know, I think one person in particular, he's just straight up said, I don't even care if I die because I know where I'm going. You know who you are because you're here this morning. But truthfully, all of us should have this peace that surpasses all understanding. We can love people. We can show concern. Did Jesus shy away from the lepers? Or did he touch them? Right, there's all this talk about social distancing, whatever that means, right? Love people. Be wise, obviously, please. Right? Show some common sense. But listen, we have hope and we have life and we have truth that is in Jesus Christ. Now is a wonderful time to let perfect love cast out fear and to show people what we believe. And as we leave, I just want to remind you of these words. As to who we serve and who we love and who is our Father. Listen to this. There's no reason for us to be afraid. There's reason for us to show love to people right now. Why? Listen to what the psalmist says. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Where does our help come from? The one who made everything. Where does our help come from? It's the one who never takes a nap. Where does our help come from? It's the one who takes care of us, whether the sun is up or the moon is up. Who is the one who takes care of us for now and forevermore? It's the maker of heaven and earth. We don't have anything to be afraid of. We have anything to be afraid of. We have reason instead to say to people who are panicking and afraid and fearful and they don't want to die, we say to them, we have peace and we have help and we have love. We have the ability to tell you how you can live. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Hear and do what Jesus says. Be his kin. Be his brothers. Be his sisters. Be his family. By hearing his words and doing what he says. Father, we rejoice in who you are. There are parts of your word that give us pause and that make us scratch our heads and that cause consternation within our hearts. But all of the things that you spoke are true. There's not a word of them that has any bit of error. There's not a bit of them that has reason for us to be suspect or critical. They are truth. So God, I pray, even as Jesus prayed, that your word is truth. I pray that you'd sanctify the people here by your truth. And they would respond properly to what the word says. God, help us to be careful hearers and obedient doers, that we'd prove to be part of who you are. God, we thank you so much for your love to us and for your patience with us. We thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you for guarding our steps that we do not slip or fall. You take care of us day and night. You made heaven and earth and you care about us. You regard our frame. You know that we are dust and we praise you for giving such careful attention to such foolish beings. God, I pray that you'd give us peace in this week ahead. Give us comfort and help, and that we would love people the way you've called us to. Father, we pray all this in your Son's name.